They say all good things must come to an end, but really great things get new life when it's time. Tulsa's Great Raft Race is one of those great things, and we're going to hear about its resurgence and the story behind it. I'm Garland McWaters, and this is the Spirit of Leading podcast. My guest is Seth Erkenbeck, the executive director of the Great Raft Race in Tulsa. And the original raft race, as I recall, because I was kind of, you know, of a younger age back in the 70s and 80s, always happened on Labor Day. Yep. And it ran for about 19 years, from 73 to 91. And then, you know, it kind of hit a dry dock or something. Yeah, hit a sandbar.
it's easy to do in Arkansas.
Easy to do, yeah. Well, you know, it was organized by a local radio station, and so after 23 years of not having one, in 2015, I believe, it was the first one, the resurgence of it. So right. I'm really interested in how that all came about, whose idea was it to get that off the ground again, and, you know, what was the story that said, hey, we ought to do that again sometime. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's a little bit up for debate on whose original idea it actually was. Two guys that are on the Raft Race board currently. One is Brian Pascal, and the second is Evan Tipton. And we were all active in Tulsa Young Professionals. And I was wanting to do something with the business development crew to highlight the river. So it kind of goes back into my backstory a little bit. As I've been in Tulsa like about 12 or 13 years now, I took my last 2 years of school at OSU Tulsa in downtown here, and I thought that I had a finance degree. I was going to move to Dallas or Chicago. I had interviews in both places, and it was a unique time to be in Tulsa. The BOK Center was just coming online. The ballpark was being talked about. They were going to move the ballpark. Was it going to be in Jinx, or was it going to be in downtown? And I really thought like the trifecta, like the third thing of that was, oh, well, we're going to develop this river. I really love the outdoors and being active. And I just thought, okay, well, like the river is the next thing to be done. So via Type Rose, I just said, hey, let's just like do an event on the river. And it really originally was, we're just going to do like a kayak or canoe happy hour. We're going to meet at River West Festival Park and paddle across the river and do a happy hour at Blue Rose and then paddle back. But we'll get 50, 100 people out on the water, which you do not see in Tulsa.
Right.
And you know, this was before all of the momentum in Oklahoma City for their river. They may have just gotten the boathouses at that time, but obviously nothing compared to where it's at now. But you don't see people on the river in Tulsa, and a lot of that is due to just the inconsistent flows that come out of Keystone Dam. So anyways, that idea circulated around, and again, I believe Brian Pascal or possibly Evan Tipton said, well, have you heard of this Great Raft Race? And I am not originally a Tulsan, and I had never heard of it, didn't know anything about it. And they said, you got to check it out. It used to be just a huge event on Labor Day. And Brian used to go as a child, and he was like, literally, I remember sitting on the banks, and it was just filled with people. I started doing research. I found two old videos, like, buried on somebody's blog online. And then I found some statistics from the Tulsa World saying that it broke the state attendance record of the largest single-day event in Oklahoma history. And you got to think, like, OU football games, OSU football games, there's big single-day events. That it broke the state attendance record. The governor used to participate every year, let alone the Tulsa City Council and Tulsa Mayor, but the governor would come over every year. Just this huge event. So I said, well, that sounds a lot better than just doing like a happy hour for 100 people on a canoe or a kayak. So that began. That was probably 2011, 2012. Quickly, we found out that we were not the first people that talked about bringing back the Great Raft Race. River Parks and the city, I think River Parks only, they get contacted maybe once, at least once a year, twice a year, of someone that says, hey, we want to bring back the raft race. Well, then it comes down to the water fluctuations, and the water release from Keystone Dam are not receptive to you know, having consistent flow in the Arkansas River. And again, that was 2011, 2012. We started having conversations, and it took us a couple years before we talked to the right people to where we could solidify an agreement with Public Service Company of Oklahoma, who has the power plant on the river, Southwestern Power, and the Corps of Engineers. So there was a lot of back channels. You know, again, it took us years to get that solidified to where we actually could announce that we could have the event because we were guaranteed some amount of consistent water. It primarily started as a type road Tulsa Young Professionals event. Once we finally got traction and water, we knew that it was going to be even bigger than what we anticipated, and we needed to start our own 501c3. So it just became a standalone event on its own. And in that first year, there was a lot of volunteer support and marketing help from Type Rose and kind of that core group of people.
It shows what happens when people get together and say, hey, you know, we used to have, and why can't we have it again? And what would it take? And you begin really looking into it and taking it seriously. Now, was there any real pushback on, we tried that in the past, it finally fizzled out, it's not going to happen? Did you get any naysayers along the way you had to kind of bring along?
You know, not outright naysayers. We had a lot of people tell us that once we did kind of have the water somewhat solidified, and people were saying that you just need to do it in 2016, which would have been a year later. Everyone's saying, hey, the amount of planning this is going to take, we had about 90 days to 120 days, which in hindsight now, after doing this for 3 years, is such a short amount of time.
Right, that's pretty miraculous
for a huge event. But you know, the original goal of the event was to highlight the river,
right?
And there was a vision package vote that was going to happen in the fall of 2015. And I believe my memory serves me correctly, it actually got pushed to the spring of 2016. But we thought as an organization, if we could get 1,000 people on the river and 10,000 people to attend to see the show, then that would paint a picture for the public, because on that vision vote was the low water dam, right, and the white water flume, and the second, the Jinx Dam, which is somewhat in question now at this point. But the 31st Street Zinc Dam was for sure on that ballot. And we just thought we need to do the event before that vote, because we really need to show Tulsa that the river can be used, because it just really doesn't get used. And we thought we need to paint a picture. We need to get people active and to show the potential of canoeing, kayaking, getting people on the banks, that it's a natural resource. You know, it's almost like a new playground for Tulsa. We have River Parks trail systems for running and biking. We have Turkey Mountain. We're going to have the Gathering Place. But the river is going to be a fourth playground. You know, right, people are going to be able to do new activities that we have not been able to do in Tulsa historically.
You did it the first year. And then you say, okay, this is like something that could continue on. Did it get easier from there, or did you find yourself facing new and different challenges as it began to grow?
There's different challenges. It gets easier because, I was not an event planner by trade whatsoever. Just the ins and outs of that, it's a lot more work than I envisioned. And people warned me that, like, hey, this is a big undertaking. But we had a really rock solid team. So some of that got easier, but we have an annual conversation. It's hard to guarantee that there's going to be water in the river when it's solely based on Mother Nature, when you're planning an event, you know, a year ahead of time. So that continually is kind of a, you know, causes a little bit of heartburn to everyone on the board. You know, it's not like planning a marathon when you way, way ahead of time, you could put your permit in to close the streets and know that, hey, you have that part done. That causes a lot of stress for everyone, but the logistics of the event get easier. You get people that have done it before on your team, and we've had so much support from the community, from Type Rose, from the Chamber, from all of our sponsors, PSO. We've had great community support that has definitely made it easier.
How did you get to involve yourself? Now, you're the executive director of the race.
Yeah.
And so what was the evolution from this idea of starting the idea out and how you ended up officially with the position that you
have now. So, again, I was a volunteer on the leadership team of Tulsa Young Professionals as the business development crew leader. And we were talking about the raft race as just a, you know, a fun little thing we were going to do via Typros. And I, myself, and a few other people were kind of leading that charge as we're going to do something. Well, we have the event, and the first year it's pretty large. You know, people are really excited that it's back. Quickly, as we start to plan for the second year, you know, we start to have people say, hey, you know, like, you need to start thinking about your, like, permanent team. Are you going to have an employee at some point to help manage this? You know, there's been other events in Tulsa that have been solely volunteer-led that have went by the wayside. And some of that is because, you know, if something's totally volunteer-led, it really, really takes a lot of time and passion. In between the first and second year, I actually became the only employee of the raft race. Mm-hmm. I was at a place where it was going to work out for me career-wise to take this on. It's something I'm really passionate about. I want to see the river continue to get developed. Right. We are going to see, you know, the face of the river and the banks really change over the next decade. As the gathering place comes online, Zinc Dam and the pedestrian bridge are going to be rebuilt. You know, there's going to be more focus, I believe, on Turkey Mountain in the future that is actually on the river also. Mm-hmm. So that's how that came about.
Right. So how has it grown over the 3 years that you've had the event? What's been the progression?
The first year back, we were somewhere around 800 to 1,000 participants, crowds of, you know, estimated attendance. We don't ticket for the finish line area, right. So it's hard to get an exact number, but estimated crowds over 10,000 people. And those numbers have basically stayed the same for the 3 years. This last year, we added so many new features. We probably had our record-breaking participants in the event. It was at a firm 1,000, mm-hmm. compared to, I think, in 2015, maybe it was like a little bit under 1,000. And then the attendance at the finish line after party, which is the Bud Light Boatyard Bash, we had new aspects, like I was saying. We had a sandcastle contest. We had a cardboard regatta for kids to build cardboard boats. We had raft rentals and kayak rentals at the after party. So the after party was considerably larger this year.
So what does it look like coming up for this year?
So
anything new?
We added so many new things last year. We had a LTFF pre-party 2 weeks before at Fuel 66 on Route 66. And that was kind of a pre-event just to make sure that, hey, remember on Labor Day, you know, come out to the raft race. We added rentals for the event and at the after party. So, you know, the character of the event is these people building these kind of crazy, it's almost like a floating art show.
Right.
You know? So we know that is the character of the event. People want to see what people are going to build. You know, people have been building water cannons and all kinds of crazy things. But we also knew there's a demographic of people that's a lot of work. They either aren't interested in putting that much work, or they just don't have the time. Or even a lot of people have the best intentions. I've talked to so many people that say, oh, we're building this thing, and then by the time you get 3 weeks before the event, we just didn't get it together. So they may throw something together that's a little more simple.
Right.
But as of last year, because of that demographic, we brought over a lot of rubber rafts from Arrowhead Resort in Tahlequah. So they're one of the float companies on the Illinois River, mm-hmm. 6-8-man rafts. So if you just want to show up in Sand Springs, you can grab a rubber raft, float the river, check it in at the finish line, and there's, you know, from an ease of use standpoint, you get all the fun of being on the river, seeing the river, coming into downtown, seeing the skyline, having fun at the after party, but you don't get any of that work of hauling a raft, building a raft, disposing of a raft. So I think that is actually one aspect that is really going to grow, right. Because we really didn't, we thought it was going to be successful, but we didn't know how much. So we only reserved about 30 rubber rafts. And based on this last year, we're going to have more. The sand castle contest was a new feature. We flew in a world champion sand sculptor. Mm. This guy travels all over the world doing sand castle, sand sculpture competitions. His name is John Gowdy. We flew him in And he made a huge 12 by 12 exhibition piece that had the Tulsa skyline, the raft race logo, a mermaid. And then there were five teams in a sandcastle contest. So, again, kind of the same concept as the rubber rafts. It was a new event in 2017. We thought it would be successful, but we didn't want to say, hey, we want 100 teams. Let's just test the waters to see if people are interested in doing this again. I think we can easily get to 10, 20, 30 teams in that sandcastle contest. I don't think there's going to be anything groundbreakingly new in 2018. We're just really going to try to advance the things we're already doing, grow attendance, participation in the event, grow participation in these kind of ancillary events.
Well, it sounds like an amazing family event, being on Labor Day and everything. It usually launches early in the morning, somewhere in the morning.
Right.
And how long does it take to float the, 8 miles or so?
Yeah, it's about eight and a half miles. It all depends on, if you're in a, the speed demons that are really trying to get down can get down in about an hour and a half. I think if someone was in just a sleek canoe or kayak, not some one of these big crazy homemade things, they could probably get down in roughly in an hour, maybe under an hour. Zico and KKT Architecture have won the homemade raft race portion of the event. They're at like about an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes.
Right. How long does it take to launch that many entries?
It's about 3 to 4 hours. Scheduled launches are 8 to noon, and this last year we were done by about 11, 1130.
Well, it sounds like an event that starts at the finish line somewhere around 9 o'clock and then takes the rest of early afternoon. You know, it could be a full day fun time.
Festivities in Tulsa really kick off 10:30, 11, and go to 3, 4, 5. But I believe the first year, people just showed up. They were excited it was back. They showed up really early, and rafts didn't come in for an hour or two. So people were just on the banks waiting to see rafts come down. And we didn't really know, nobody had done it in 20 years, so we weren't sure how fast or slow everyone was going to go. But we feel like we've got that timing nailed down a little bit better now. We know when to expect people, and we have updates from the fire department.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that if you had all the answers before you started, you'd never get it done. You'd never started. You're going to have to go see what happens, go from there.
Everything else.
It's like everything else.
Trial and error.
Trial and error. Do it. It's a great idea. Let's put something out there, see what happens. We can always make it better. So did everybody have a good time, and was it safe?
We go into great detail with the Tulsa Fire Department, Sand Springs Fire Department, the Corps of Engineers. It's their waterway, technically. Tulsa Police Department, Sand Springs Police Department. Tulsa Fire Department provides the most boats for on-water safety. Right. Sand Springs Fire Department is secondary to that. So really, those two organizations go way above and beyond because they have actual boats in the water, and they would be the people really springing to action if something was to happen. Yeah. Our safety plan is ran by them, and then they give us a safety plan that they approve.
Right.
And we're just a piece of their safety plan.
Right. What have you learned about yourself and the way you lead and things like that as a part of just jumping in and doing this? What's been your own personal growth and experience?
You know, it takes a village, 100%. For a large event, there's so many moving parts. You really have to have a great team. I couldn't be happier or fortunate to work with the people that I have worked with, and luckily that they are passionate about the river. Quality of life in Tulsa, STEM education principles is something we haven't talked about, but there's been a lot of kids involved building rafts and cardboard boats and things like that. Working with the team and, trying to lead a team in an efficient way is really where I've learned the most about myself, and there's a lot of room to grow there as far as, managing an effective team. Especially a volunteer team is tough. These people aren't employees. They're doing this after 5 o'clock, after a stressful day at work, not getting paid to be out there the week of the event, the 6 months leading up to it in the planning committee meetings. So, without the graciousness of all those people, this event would never happen whatsoever.
What have you seen as some of the real benefits of volunteers working together like this as it relates to bonding in your community?
you never know the value of a contact until it's made, right? So we've just met for the first time. Who knows? We can end up being lifelong friends, Garland. I'm not sure.
Sure.
Bringing people together that are like-minded, they're motivated, you never know where that's going to go. You know, our planning committee, you know, there's usually 10 to 12 people on the kind of the core group outside of our actual board. But many of those people have did not know each other prior. And, you know, now they're very close friends or they're even professional associates. I know that multiple other people have used our tech guy who's done our website and also some of our marketing. So there's been cross-pollination. One of the girls is does a lot of event management stuff, and she's worked with other people on our team in mm-hmm. other capacities and events and in marketing outside of the raft race. So you've always just got to think you want to be have a servant's mind when you go into stuff like that, because the more you give, eventually it's going to come back around in some form or fashion.
Right.
If it's not a fiscal capacity, it's networking and, you know, this person helps your best friend get a job because they knew of something going on 5 years from now, or they're going to help you with some other project that is totally, ancillary from, what's going on currently. You never know what the future holds.
That's right.
But if you didn't make those connections.
Right. I always believe that when people meet, anything is possible and everything is possible.
Yeah.
So 100%. You never know what those kinds of connections, the value of those are going to be down the road for sure. You mentioned in passing just a moment ago the STEM education phase of it, and perhaps that's something we shouldn't let pass. What are some of the residual benefits, you think, of the race beyond what the obvious entertainment value of it was?
STEM is an easy answer there that you bring up. American Airlines has been a very great partner to help us on the STEM School Challenge. So that is allowing 10 local schools into the event for free. And Mill Creek Lumber has provided some material, building materials for those kids. And then American Airlines employees have went out and helped them build rafts. So, you know, you see those kids actually learning how to cut an angle on a piece of a board with a miter saw. And you have a guy from the maintenance base at AA teaching them how to do that. And actually doing something with your hands. But there's so many different components to it because it's a very creative thing also. Mm-hmm. We want to get more kids involved. There's going to be two components to the STEM challenge this year. If you're 12 and over, you can actually be in the Great Raft Race and float down the river, build a raft. If you're 12 and under, we're going to grow the cardboard boat race at the finish line. So there's the small lagoon area where there used to be a floating stage at West Festival Park, but it's basically about the perfect distance. It's like a very, very large swimming pool, and kids will be able to build boats at school prior or the day of, just a simple cardboard boat, and then they'll be able to get to race the day before. One other note on that, and this happened back in 2015, two original schools that are noteworthy was Carnegie Elementary and Tulsa Honor Academy. These kids were they were building prototypes in the class before they went and built their actual raft, but you could see they were really, really excited to be learning. And then one of those schools, they had a Saturday build day, so they called it Saturday School, and you had five of those kids that, I'm so excited to be at school on Saturday. You know, they wanted to get to school on a day off so they could come and work on this raft and be with their teachers and be learning in the real world. So, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe we've helped
absolutely
change the position of someone's interest to say, hey, you know, I want to be an engineer when I grow up.
That's absolutely. So you never know what's going to strike your passion until you get involved in something and say, hey, I like this.
For sure.
You know, this is really fun. I would never have thought of this, but this is something that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to another great experience this year that hopefully is bringing the community, continues to bring the community together, gives us a vision of what Tulsa could be down the road, and especially encouraging young people to get involved early in their careers, becoming part of the community and getting involved with the community, because those are contacts and experiences that really help way, way, way down the road.
Oh, so. Yeah. Get involved with an event, come out for the day, learn more about STEM. Get off the couch and get outdoors. That's good for everybody.
We're real excited that it's back, that it took the turn that it did, with young people interested in helping the community, wanting to grow and better, and seeing that opportunity and saying, hey, well, let's do something with it. Let's give it a try, see what happens. So who knows? It could become one of the big festivals that people from all over the country come around to on Labor Day.
We would love that. We know someone wrote a newspaper article about us in Shreveport. They were in Tulsa for the event. They wrote an article for the Shreveport Times, and they said, hey, why are we not doing this in Shreveport? I think this.
Where they actually have water in a river.
Yeah, the Red River, I believe, goes to Shreveport, and they actually have water. Maybe in the future it will become more of a regional, national. We would love to get to the attendance and impact of what they were doing in the 80s, for sure.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a great story, and we look forward to the success of the raft race again this year. You're on the Thai Pros Foundation board as well, is that correct?
Yep. So I'm the current president of the Thai Pros Foundation, which is kind of a micro grant organization,
yes.
Which is separate from Thai Pros as a whole, who we've been talking about over the last half hour. But yes, I was very active in Thai Pros, and now I'm the president of this ancillary organization, which is the foundation. We really want to see young people engaging with the community. And we provide dollars for awesome ideas to impact the local community.
Great. Outstanding. Well, listen, thanks so much for taking time to explain this and share your time and your excitement about it. It's infectious. We look forward to seeing the race this year as it comes about, and many, many more years in the future, I'm sure. It's really looking up.
We hope so. Thanks, Garland. Come out on Labor Day.
I'll be there.
We'll love to see all you guys there.
Like you said, it takes a village. It takes a village to build a city.
Definitely.
And so that's really a great thought. I've been talking with Seth Thurkenbeck, the executive director of the Tulsa Great Raft Race. Well, that's it for this episode of the Spirit of Leading podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with one of the many of the empowered individuals who are seeking to make things better in their communities. Until next time, I encourage you to live each and every day empowered, by encouraging the spirit, enlivening the heart, enlightening the mind, and enlarging the expectations of living in yourself and in others. I'm Garland McWaters.